Hallelujah. Well, go ahead and open up to Romans 12 again. And when the Holy Spirit, you can tell, I can't preach anything else right now. It's got to do with where we're going on this crucifying the flesh. It's not the most popular message. But revival will be very popular. I'm telling you, when we break through into this, we'll be real popular then, you know. People that argue with you, that's fine. It's America. You can argue if you want to. You got a right to whatever. But you don't have a right to an opinion when it comes to the truth of God's Word. Now, I have the right to be wrong. What I mean by that is what Dave said that time. He says, Gary, don't stop praying the mysteries. He said, God's not withholding revival from us. He's pouring revival through us all that He can. It's obvious there's things we don't understand yet. See, in other words, we've got it wrong right now. But he says, keep praying the mysteries. And the Holy Spirit is better at what He does than we are slow at what we do. You understand what I'm saying? So apparently this is the mind of Christ. I've really been doing my part, praying, seeking the Lord. And it keeps coming back to this same thing right now, which is crucifying the flesh. So, sorry. This is where we are, you know. This is, hallelujah. Yes, sir. Okay. I don't even know if I have that, Lord. Hang on a minute. He usually knows what I don't think I even have that with me. Wait a minute. Maybe I do. He usually knows what I have better than I do. I do. Isn't that something? Now, I wasn't really planning on reading this. You know, we've been having some really strong words from the Lord about this year and about revival. This is the year we sell out to Him. How many of you think? I think we're close, really, really close. The word I keep seeing is cusp, which to me, we're dancing around. Of course, with me, it would be a coffee cup. We're like dancing right around the edge of a coffee cup, and it, you know, it's not very thick right there. You know, we're like dancing around. We're going to slide in just any moment here now. I think that's really where we are. And the other word anymore, I just don't get to do what I want. He just starts taking over with these visions and things, remembrances, and I just got to follow Him. And the other thing, right there, when I said that we're really close, don't forget the 4-minute mile. It's not going to be like we have thought. You know, nobody thought that they could ever break that 4-minute mile. People tried and tried throughout the history of man, and nobody could break where they could run a mile in 4 minutes. And then finally, that fella did it. Englishman, if I remember right. He broke it. And it's an amazing thing. Once he broke it, do you think people started being born physically stronger after he broke it? Person after person after person then began to break that 4-minute mile. And it wasn't that they were physically stronger. Something happened in their soul. Something happened in their belief system. And suddenly they're able to do what seemed impossible. He has shown me again and again, as we break into this revival, that same kind of thing is going to happen this time. He hasn't had you here all of these years praying in the Holy Ghost, purging strongholds, for you're more ready than you think you are. You're more ready than you think you are. And you're not the one that decides whether you're ready or not anyway. Amen? We're right on the edge, and when it starts to break, when it breaks, another one's going to operate, and then another one, then another one, then another one. Praise God. Amen? All right. Well, this, what he reminded me of here, I really wasn't planning on reading this. How many of you know Rhema has a camp meeting every year? And they had one this year. And the last night of the camp meeting, somebody transcribed this for me. I wasn't there this year. There was a prophecy that came forward. And it's so almost identical to what the Holy Spirit's been saying here. Apparently, he wants me to read it, so I'm going to read it to you. Said so this was July 25th, 2014, at the during that Rhema camp meeting evening service. And it says, there has been a drought. There has been a drought. But you have come to the threshold, to the door of that last great revival that has been prophesied. I am getting ready to move in a mighty way like you have never seen before. Those of my people that are ready, that are in line, living like they should, proclaiming my word, I will move through them. You will see that this will be the greatest move of God that this world has ever seen. How many times have we heard that already? Smith Wigglesworth prophesied that. Dad Hagen prophesied it, if you want to know the truth, before he went home. And now the Lord is saying it again through another vessel. I don't really know who this came through. So he says, and he said it here. He has said it here before, that this is going to be the greatest revival the world has ever seen. This is the last day. Stand up and declare that Jesus is coming soon. And I'm coming back for a church that is on fire with the Spirit of God. Rise up and begin to proclaim. This is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel, and take it to your generation, because now is the time. And it won't be just one time here and one time there and a little bit over here and a little bit over there, but it must be a fire that never goes out, that burns and burns and burns and burns until all have come into the glory of God. And then shall the end come. This gospel shall be preached to every nation, kindred, tongue, and tribe. And then shall the end come. Sounds like scripture to me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, again, reviewing a little bit from this morning, we're not going to turn to all these verses. Did I tell you to go to Romans 12? Okay, good. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, how many want to follow Jesus? Raise your hand. We're having an altar call. Raise it. Raise it. Okay. I'm a teacher. Raise it. Smack your knuckles. He says, if you're going to follow me, you got to do two things. Deny. He that will follow me must deny himself and be crucified daily. In Galatians 5, we looked at it again this morning. We looked at the war between the spirit man, who you really are, and the flesh that you're wearing. Boy, that picture, Lord, I don't know if I'm ready for that. Okay, this goes to the hula hoop message now. I'm telling you, he's still dealing with me. Most people have probably long forgot that message, you know. It's still, everything I read is, my Bible became new again once I understood that one. And it's still going on. Yes, sir. Okay. Then we have a short time, so let me just say this. In that message that is titled, Higher Thoughts and Higher Ways. If you didn't hear it, you need to hear that one. And really, if you can watch the video, that one is better seen than just heard. But he was using mathematical things to help me understand the realm that we're to really function in. And if you remember, I had people come up and help me, and we pretended like there was a universe that's only got one dimension, only length. Remember? We call them Linelanders. And all they can do is walk back and forward on a line. It can be a straight line or a curved line. They can never leave the line. They can't go left. They can't go right. They can't jump or go dig down. They're restricted to forward and backward line land. That's all they know. They have nothing in their realm of experience, nothing in their thought realm to even experience a universe other than what they know. And if they come up to an obstacle that they can't, if there's an obstacle on the line, they're sunk. Because in their universe, you can't go left, you can't go right, you can't go over, you can't go under. They're just stuck. There's nothing they can do. It's impossible. See, what he's trying to illustrate is all things are possible to him that believes. Folks, we're the ones that believe. So in that illustration, it was like a benevolent person from Flatland. Now, Flatland is different than Lineland. Flat land is like a sheet of paper. Flat land, they have two dimensions. You have length and width. So they can go left, they can go right. So someone, a benevolent person from Flatland, was watching this dilemma of the person from Lineland. It's just impossible. And somehow this person from Flatland just reaches over, gets that person, moves them to the left around that obstacle. And when they do that, the instant they leave the line, to all the other Linelanders, that person disappeared from view. Let me say that again. The instant they leave the line, in that universe, they would disappear from view. He was there. He was right there. Then he was gone. Then this benevolent person moves him around that obstacle and puts him back on the line on the other side, and he would reappear. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. And for them, it would be. But for the Flatlander, it's like, duh. This is what we do. You know, this is not, from where I'm from, this is normal. Well, but for the Flatlander guy, see, it's just as impossible for him to conceive of anything vertical. No, there's no up, there's no down. So that's where I'd throw down the hula hoop, you know. The hula hoop I brought with me, and of course it's seamless. And in Flatland, there is no vertical. There's only length and width. And his goal is to get to the center of that hula hoop. Well, he says, well, maybe there's an opening. So he starts going all the way around the thing. To him, that would look like a stone wall from the ground straight up into the sky forever, and there's no way to get around it. So again, it's impossible. There's no way. It's an impossible situation. And we're faced with those all the time in this land. But if an earthlander, someone who lives in a three-dimensional world like ours, who understands length and width and height, they're watching, and they watch that dilemma for a while. He's wailing, I can't get to the center. It's impossible. There is nothing we can do. Scientifically, it's impossible. And then he looks at it, and he just benevolently somehow reaches over, and he takes that guy and just lifts him up. And when he leaves the flatland, as soon as he leaves the surface, he would disappear to everybody in flatland. It's a miracle. Reminds me of Philip was found at Azotos. You remember that? Not that Philip, but another. He likes that one. See, Philip always goes, yes, amen. Yeah. He just picks him up and moves him over and sets him down in the center of the circle. It's a miracle. But for the person from the earthland, he'd go, this is normal everyday business. This is just normal everyday things. Well, mathematically, you can prove that there is a fourth dimension. They use it all the time in designing a lot of things you use, like jet engines and other things. In fact, any of you that's familiar with string theory, there has to be at least 11 dimensions. 11. I always wonder which one where God is. I'm pretty sure whatever the number is, it's the highest. Y'all go with me there? Well, this little, so that's basically the hula hoop thing. And God's going, look, the realm that God is from, nothing is impossible there. The things that us earthlanders, cancer. Hey, if you've ever been addicted, I was addicted. It doesn't matter what to. I was addicted to cigarettes for 42 stinking years. Now, 42 years is a long time. And when your mind has been programmed that you're a slave for 42 years, even you begin to wonder if you're ever, 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 ever going to be free, even though the Bible says I was free the whole time. But see, I know what it is to have a stronghold that you can't escape from. And I tried. I mean, I tried everything that would come down the pike, and I don't want to deal with that too much. But eventually, you keep praying and fasting and doing the message, He will get you free. It's been, thank God, it's been over 10 years. I thank God for that. Nothing in me wants one of the nasty things now at all. But I couldn't even conceive of that before. Well, the point I'm trying to get at, cigarette smoking is one thing. Cancer is another. Impossible situations. I've got a friend right now who's been standing for him and his wife had twins. A year ago this week, they were so preemie, so premature that the hospital gave them almost no chance of survival. But they are believers. And I've talked with them, prayed with them, shared the word. They have a good, strong, believing family. But this very week, it'll be 1 year Sam is the twin that hasn't come home yet. The other one, he did get to come home a few months ago. But Sam, his first year has been spent in a preemie hospital. And the report still isn't good. But it hasn't been good this whole time. The doctors have been saying he's got to die for a year. And he's still living. But from a medical point of view, it's virtually impossible. But see, God is watching us just like the Earthlander was watching the Flatlander, and like the Flatlander was watching the Linelander. And God has given us promises from that realm where God is to this realm. And he says, for one thing, first, he has given us his word. And he tells us, I am watching over my word to perform it. That's the message, that God cannot lie. What we have in our hands here, these thoughts did not originate on this planet. Yes, sir. And then, as if that wasn't enough, he sent us the living word. He sent us the word made flesh. Where now you don't just have to read it on a page. I thank God for every word on the page in the word of God. But he sent us the living word. Where he could say, you want to know him? You want to know what's possible? You want to know what he wants to do, talking about God? Look at me. I am the Word made flesh. Is that good? Is that good? Okay. Well, this little image that came a while ago that I had no idea he was going to spring on me tonight. Okay, we're the little Earthlanders, and we have all these impossible things. And then here comes God. And if we can believe him, he'll do incredible, impossible miracles. Read about it. In the Old Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, nobody was born again in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Every miracle that you see there was to an Earthlander, if you'll allow me. Someone from Earthland with a nature of the, what is that, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, they had the spirit of the world on the inside of them. They had that spirit passed down from Adam. Was not a single one of them a heavenlander? Is that okay? Heavenlander, except Jesus. He is the only heavenlander, the only one from there. Now, his body was from the earth, but his spirit was from heaven. See? Well, we watch him and we say, this is what God wants. This is what God wants. Most Christians are never even brought to the place, I'm going to say, of earthlander faith. What I mean by that is, you would do that for me? What you did for that one in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? You would do that? You healed that lady? You would heal my wife? Most of us, and a big part of it is from what we've been taught from pulpits. I'm talking worldwide, not at the prayer center. Puts limits on God. Changes the truth of the gospel to fit what they've seen in life. And from the mindset of, I am an earth person that God loves, and you are, were, and he will do these miracles for me and my family and those that I pray for, that right there is astounding faith. That kind of faith pleased God everywhere he found it. The only two people in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John where he said, this is the greatest faith. This is great faith. One of them was the centurion, who wasn't even a Jew, did not have a covenant with God. And the other one was that lady from Syrophoenicia, a Gentile, another person that did not even have a covenant with God. Yet both of them got what they wanted from God. They had earthlander faith. This God who's from somewhere else, he's from another realm. I have faith that my servant can be healed. The other woman, I have faith that my daughter can be healed. And they had a spirit of the world on the inside of them. They were earthlanders, if you'll allow me, that believed this gospel, that the kingdom of heaven, the realm where God lives, he would extend his power from there to here, if they could believe. Well, that's pretty good. He likes that kind of faith. That's really good, but see, God took it one step beyond there, and now we're approaching what this vision that I wasn't planning on teaching. Because the one I keep seeing now, see, Jesus was the only heavenlander. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he's the only one walking around with. Here lately, the Lord's been having me, I mean, you do some messages about the visitor. He was the visitor from this other realm, the only one that we have to watch. The only one whose life, he's not an earthlander. He's a heavenlander on temporary loan to earth wearing an earth suit. Now, you got that? Wearing an earth suit. The earth suit, see, when we put men in outer space, don't we have to put them in a suit? Why? They have to have that suit to survive there. Well, you got your spirit has to have an earth suit to survive here. Now, the thing of it is, though, when we put our astronauts into spacesuits, those spacesuits don't have an agenda. The spacesuits don't have any lusts in them that I know of. They don't have any desires in them. They don't have any cravings. But this earth suit, the one that God puts us in, the earth suit is full of it. Read Galatians 5. So here's this picture I keep seeing. See, it's one thing to even get the church up to earthlander faith. Yeah, okay, how do I demonstrate that kind of understanding? Okay. Mike from Minnesota. Would you get a chair and bring it right there? He gets to be God today. Hallelujah. All right. It's Mike Knight. I need my other Mike. Mike, come. All right, now Mike's going to represent two things here. Of course, I'm teaching, I get to be Jesus. Hallelujah and glory. I am the only one. Well, he's got the yellow shirt. It's bright. Anyway, I'm the only one during Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. See, the Father sent me from that realm where God lives. I was, for benefit, I'll just go up here. He says, I was with the Father. He says, no one has come down from heaven except the Son of the Man, which is in heaven. Okay? It's the Father who sent me. You got that? So he was first in heaven with the Father. Then he's a heavenlander. Doesn't have an earth suit there. But now he's been sent to earth and he's conceived in the womb of Mary. And when that happens, he's placed within an earth suit. He grows up. He's a heavenlander from there on earth. But Mike is like Peter, James, John. He's an earthlander. His spirit is from the earth. And he's wearing a body from the earth. You got this? And this is everybody on planet earth. Now, Jesus, he's anointed with the Holy Ghost. I don't know how to picture that. Just, okay, anointed with the Holy Ghost to go around doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil, okay? He has this anointing from heaven. And he's demonstrating on earth. Now, the thing of it is, his flesh was no different than our flesh. It says he was tempted in all points like we are. Tempted is a strong word. It's not a temptation if you're not tempted. There's desires in his earth suit. There's not. And it's not a perfect illustration because the flesh is really more than an earth suit. It's a soul. It's the unrenewed parts. It's where jealousy lives. It's where envy lives. It's where greed lives. It's where self-promotion lives. It's where all agendas are. Okay? But I don't know how else to demonstrate it tonight. Well, the first level, he comes and he says, I have good news. I have good news to proclaim to you, earthlander. What is that? My Father has sent me to tell you, His kingdom is available to man. Cool. Good response. Cool. And he's come to, I preach the gospel to the poor and to the blind and to all of these people, you know. Well, what's good news to a blind man? You can be healed. What's good news to a poor man? You can have all your needs met and have some abundance. Thank God. If you're addicted, Gary, you don't have to stay addicted. Whatever it is, my Father, His kingdom is available. It is at hand. Well, that's the good news. And in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what God is looking for is for people, earthlanders, with the spirit of the world on the inside of them, to believe that message. And some of them did. And that's what you see in the woman with the issue of blood, the centurion, the Syrophoenician woman, the lepers. We could go on, the blind Bartimaeus. We could go on and on and on of the earthlanders who received the message from the heavenlander. Well, if that's all that there was, that's good. Now, I'm not even touching the sin thing tonight, okay? That's another, we got like 10 minutes here. So, okay. I'm trying to get to this vision, see? God goes, He doesn't want to just stop there, though, and leave us with that spirit of the world on the inside of us. See where He's calling us to believe? It would be great if the church would demonstrate earthlander faith like that. And I think that's where some of the recent giants in our time reestablishing what faith is. I include Dave in that, reestablishing what walking in the Spirit is. See? Reestablishing those things. What is it? How do you believe God? How do you take Him at His word? How do you do this and how do you do that? See? That's wonderful if you're just an earthlander with the spirit of the world. But God says, I don't want to just bless you and leave you with that fallen spirit. He says, look, I want to do something more for you, Mike. Cool. Good response. God says, look, if you'll believe this gospel and surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to take that spirit of the world out of you. I want to lift you up. I'm going to quicken you together with Christ, raise you up together with Christ. You're going to change kingdoms. You're going to change dominions. You're going to change who you are. You're going to change everything about you. I'm going to add another chair. I'm going to seat you in heavenly places. There you go. With Christ Jesus. You're no longer an earthlander.
Praise God.
You're a heavenlander now. You're my child now. I put my spirit on the inside of you. And Jesus said, I am sending them the same way the Father sent me. And He's sending us back to earth now. Now we know we look the same. It's the same earth suit. That's the thing. It is the same earth suit. But this is not an earthlander anymore. This is a heavenlander. And the faith that God is trying to raise the prayer center up to now. Listen. You are not that same old creature just forgiven. You're not just an old sinner saved by grace. You have the righteous nature of the Father God on the inside of you. You have been sent on the same mission. Now somebody's got to be the devil. Fred, come here. Doesn't he look evil and mean, that old mean evil Fred? You're sinister, he says. He goes, I thought I won when I crucified that one heavenlander that was here.
Yep.
And that, yep, see, all full of pride. And now, there's not just this one, but there's that one and that one and that one and that. What am I going to do? I have no access to their spirit. Get this? He goes, I have no access to their spirit. Ah, there is something of them that's still from this earth. I will attack them. I'm going to attack their earth suit. Here he comes. And it's with all manner of, it could be, he can try and attack with sickness. He can try and attack with persecution from religious folks or unreligious folks, okay? He can attack with circumstances. He does have some powers, you know, some things that can be done. He's been restricted to the things of the earth, though. He can also, though, in a way he's really good. See, it's not just an earth suit. And this is the part that I told God I wasn't ready yet. Because you know that the emotions, greed, and see, the spirit man is created righteous and holy from the get-go. But that soul on the inside, that is part of the flesh. And if you read Galatians 5, that list, that's where envy and jealousy and hatred and variance and all that stuff lives. But it is part of the earthlander part. It's got nothing to do with who you are from God's point of view. But that's an inroad for this enemy. So come choking, you know. See? So now we've got the devil, the only access he has is through our flesh. And then the vision of Dave. Remember the vision? When God was telling him about the revival? Showed the whole earth? But there was this dark black band around it. And that's what was restricting everybody from the glory of God. But somebody, they would pray and fast and pray, and they'd get their hand up past that black whatever it was, you know. And the hand would begin to glow, you remember? And they'd come back down and lay hands on the sick and they'd recover. Somebody would push their head up through there and the head would begin to glow and they'd come back down and boy, they'd teach the very oracles of God. And then every once in a while, somebody would get all the way through. They'd get their whole person through that black veil. Boy, when they come back, that's the revivalists of history. That's your handful that we have every century. That's your Smith Wigglesworth, your John G. Lakes, you know, the very few. And so Dave's watching this vision and he goes, ah, that black band, that's the devil. And he says, no, that's your flesh. Let's say it another way. That is your earth suit. That is the part of you that's still from this earth. Suddenly I understand like I never understood before. This guy, the devil, he has no access at all. Your spirit, do you know why you can have the Holy Ghost? You know the type and shadow from the Old Testament? The temple? I mean, you know, we are the temple of God. Well, the temple had an outer court, an inner court, and the Holy of Holies. The outer court, a type of the body. The inner court, a type of the soul, emotions, reasonings. But that inner court, boy, that's the Holy of Holies. Even the high priest couldn't go in there, but I mean, he had to go through all the washings and the rituals, and they'd still tie a rope around his ankle and little bells. And if they quit hearing the bells ding, the rope was to drag him out, turn around and go, next. What I'm saying is, the devil, he cannot go in there. The reason you can have the Holy Ghost is because you've got a new nature on the inside of you that is the Holy of Holies, and the devil has no access to that at all. So the only access he has is through the flesh. And suddenly it all makes sense to me now. That's our warfare. Thank you, guys. You can all be seated now. That's our warfare. This outer earthly part. No wonder Romans 8 talks about us groaning for the day. Groaning for the day when we'll and at Corinthians also, we'll put off this mortal flesh and receive that incorruptible. Flesh and blood cannot even inherit the kingdom of God. And I'm understanding that verse better now. See, my Bible is new. Understanding it better. That's why he keeps saying we've got to crucify this flesh. Okay, come back just for a minute, Mike. Come back, Fred, just for a minute. So Mike, he sets out on his mission. He says, I know what I'm supposed to do. I can just pick anything. Let's pick a hard one. He is genuinely called as an evangelist, let's say, empowered by the gifts of healing and the working of miracles. Glory to God. So he sets out. And sure enough, God is faithful. And he starts laying hands on people. And sure enough, it works. And glory to God. And a name starts to be built. Trouble of it is, he's still got strongholds. He's got things on the inside of him. Let's just pick one. Let's just say it's the approval of man. Aha! Yeah, the devil says, aha. Remember, Jesus said, Satan comes, but he has nothing in me. But he comes and he's looking for handles. It's the flesh. That's all he's got. He's looking for something, some kind of handle to twist, to turn, to drive into some kind of destructive pattern. Get him on drugs. Get him on illicit sex. Get him run off with the money. Get him doing something that'll bring discredit and stop another revival. And no wonder God says, look, Mike, if you're going to really fulfill, I have to leave you in this earth suit. And it's got strongholds in it. You're going to have to, if you're going to function here, you've got to crucify that earth suit. It cannot be Lord. If it's Lord in any way, that enemy is going to, through that very thing, he's going to come and destroy you. He's going to come and destroy you. Okay, you can be seated now. Is that it? Did you get that? Now listen, we have got to even change our perspective. We see ourselves, not all the time, but most of the time, we see ourselves still as earthlanders, trying to receive from this wonderful Father who lives in another realm. That's good. That's better than a lot of churches. That's not even the truth. If you've been born again, you're not an earthlander at all. I want to say it again. I think I said this morning. Y'all have no idea what's going on with me in this season. It's wonderful and scary. See, it dawned on me this morning, or maybe it was yesterday. Jesus never sinned. Never, ever, even when he was a child. Never. How many of you parents taught your children to lie? None of us ever do that. But all the children I've ever known, all of them, even my beloved Lily, one day the thought emerged, I can lie about this. And it comes from that nature within, see. Well, living like that for any time at all develops strongholds. But I want to get back to Jesus. See, Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are. That means when he was 4 or 5 or 6, whenever that happens, a day came when the thought came, I could lie. I could lie. But see, the nature on the inside of him prevented it, because it says he was without sin. Even as a little 4-year-old kid, 5-year-old kid. What does that tell you about the new nature? When it comes to righteousness, it doesn't grow up. Now, it has to be taught many things. That's we got all, you know, 1 Corinthians 2, we teach those things that the Holy Spirit teaches. Okay, it has a lot of things to learn. But I saw so clearly that new nature on the inside of you. When that's how he wrote his laws into your mind and in your heart. And the day you're born again, that rascal, Dave has been right this whole time. From the day you're born again, you do not have to sin anymore. And the only reason we do is not that there's something wrong with the power plant. There's nothing wrong with your spirit. The only reason we do, it's the strongholds in our mind. It's the appetites of the flesh. We had the identifying still with that flesh. We think we are the flesh, and that's the earth suit. That's the very thing that has to be put on the cross. And I understand it so much better now. Let him deny himself. What he's saying is, you got to deny this earthlander self. You are not that person anymore. And that flesh, there's only one place for it. If you're going to accomplish heavenlander business without the devil being successful, because he is going to come and try and stop you. Well, there needs to be nothing in you. Well, that's crucifying the flesh. And it's more than crucifying the fruit. See, Jesus said, even if you bear fruit, I'm going to prune you. Well, what do you prune off? Do you prune off producing branches or dead branches? Prune off the dead ones. Non-producing, dead ones. Reading Dave's book again. Problem of it is, sometimes we love those dead branches. It's not like they're not producing anything. You're just not producing anything for the kingdom. They might be producing the fruit of glory of man, accomplishment, a lot of things. But as far as God's concerned, no, that's all poison fruit. That limb's got to go. It's a dead branch as far as God's concerned. It's not producing anything for the kingdom. How do you do that? Whew, we got 2 minutes. Did you find Romans 12? Man, he did bad. That's the first time. See? Praise God. You're not an earthlander. We are heaven's hope. We are heaven's deposit. We are sent on the same mission as Jesus Christ. We got the same life. We're wearing the same kind of flesh, anointed by the very same Holy Ghost. Difference is, he was strongholdless And we can become strongholdless. Thank God for the Holy Ghost, see? Well, Romans 12, 1 and 2. And let's just go to 2. This is, we normally go to 2, at least Gary has in the past, because I so wanted to think that it can be done. How do you say it nicely? We'd so like for it to be the case where we can just mentally understand this and change. No. You do need to mentally understand it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. See, if you just take 2, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God is. See, I'd like it if verse 1 did not exist in my Bible. Not really. But see, the trouble of it is, verse 2 starts with the word and. You can't disconnect it from the verse that precedes it. So he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Boy, that doesn't sound like being crucified daily. See, in the natural, if you crucify something, it's dead, over. But he says, no, you got to crucify every day, which means it's a living sacrifice. And it's got to be crucified every day. Well, that's the earth suit with the affections and the lust. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And the question is, how do I do that? First, it's bad enough to even know you need to do it. But then if you cross that line, how in the world do you do it? Thank God for Pastor Dave. Because most people right there say, well, it's fasting. Fasting is a good thing. Fasting does deal with the flesh. But rereading Dave's book again, boy, it is so clear. Listen, notice it says, I beseech you, therefore. Therefore means based on everything that I've said in all these chapters leading up to here. He hasn't been talking about fasting not one time in all those chapters. What he has been talking about is the new nature. Crossing from being a earthlander to a heavenlander. With a new spirit on the inside of you that's able to rise up and take dominion over the earth suit with the affections and the lusts. And if you have some trouble there, he says, oh, and I'll give you something else to also help your infirmities. And that's God the Holy Ghost. So if you'll spend time with him, now we're back to Jude 20. You can build yourself up on your most holy faith. How would I do that? Praying in the Holy Ghost. So according to our pastor, and I believe it's so, how are you going to deal with the root of those strongholds? Most of us don't even know what's wrong with us. We don't know why we keep doing destructive things, but we don't know why. We try and change, and will worship will do, it'll help it for a while. But how do you deal with the root of it? Thank God for the Holy Ghost. We're sent from heaven wearing these earth suits, but we have, boy, suddenly the word helper. We have a helper. He says, look, if you'll employ me, I do know what's wrong with you. I do know why you keep making, I don't look at Mike for any, I do know why you keep making those same mistakes over and over and over. I know why. I will bypass your intellect if you will allow me to pray in that heavenly language. I will begin to shine a light directly on the stronghold. And eventually you'll be able to see it. And just like in the Old Testament, when it came to Jericho or Ai or any other stronghold, you will conquer that land. And no longer will the enemy be able to control it. That will be under the dominion of the kingdom. And under your dominion as a heavenlander on earth. God, that's good stuff. So how do you crucify the flesh? The number one tool is fasting is good. But in context, praying in tongues is what it is. The Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. We don't even know what's wrong with us. We don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Ghost, He will make intercession for you according to the perfect will of God. You keep praying, He'll shine a light on every stronghold. He'll build you up on your most holy faith to where you'll conquer that thing, not in your own strength, not by willpower, but by the power and strength of God Himself. The battle is mine, says the Lord. We'll rise above every stronghold. This revival is not going to be taken down by little weak handles of the flesh. This revival will continue to harvest until the end. And I believe that with all of my heart. So if you want to crucify the flesh, well, how do I do it? Set yourself anew to spend more time praying in other tongues. Set yourself anew. Hallelujah. Did you get anything out of that? We are not earthlanders anymore. We are heavenlanders on assignment to earth. Hallelujah. I got to stop. Hallelujah. Can you tell? I'm excited. I'm telling you things. This goes on all the time, all the time. Woke up this morning. Every morning I wake up and class is already going on. I feel like I'm late. What? You didn't wait for me or nothing. You know, and I got to get up quietly and go and start writing and or typing whatever I have available and got to quit. Hallelujah. Okay. All right. We're going to go ahead and start the confessions now. And I know not everybody can stay for that. And that's okay.